sunshine. Give me a do. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing Mountain Dew. So give me my good hands. Give me a do.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 60 minutes on the clock. We'll take you till 4. Blitz will take you till 7. You don't have to do a thing but listen to ESPN 97.5. And oh, by the way, it is the number one sports station in the big city of Houston, Texas. So why not just lock it in, leave it on, and while you're at it, download the app. Just go to ESPN975.com and follow the instructions to download the app. Then you can take us anywhere, everywhere, and I mean everywhere you go. Our good friend Tracy from Lake Tahoe listening with, you want to talk about Twin Peaks and scenic views. Holy cow, do they got some views in Tahoe. Lake Tahoe is gorgeous.
They really super nice.
No doubt about it. So you can be like, you know, Steelers fan Juan, NASCAR Johnny. We've got friends all over the globe that just do the right thing. They've got the app. They listen to us everywhere. It's fantastic. It's a win-win. That's all I can say.
What was the offer that, or what was the money that Dallas Keuchel was looking for? Do we know?
Yeah, I keep saying it because there was a rumor out there for a while the Braves were offering what they wanted, which was 5 years and 100 mil.
So he was wanting 20 a year.
20 a year. Yeah.
Okay. I was trying
for
to find
a 31-year-old pitcher with lower velocity that lost a little of control.
What I like about it, and we don't have to belabor it because we already talked about it ad nauseum, but I like on spottrack.com, which is a great, if you're into contracts and you're into value and what guys make comparatively to other guys in their statistical class or their position class or whatever, it's an outstanding website, spottrack.com. No K on track, SPOTRAC. So they've got Keuchel, and they do a comparative analysis on his statistics with guys that over a 2 year range. So they use Keuchel's 2017-2018 season. They find guys that match that. And the four guys that match that over certain years was John Lester 2013-2014, Jake Arrieta 2016-2017. Patrick Corbin 2017-2018 and Yu Darvish 2016-2017. So since Patrick Corbin was in the same frame 2017-2018, I pulled up what he got. He's 29, and Patrick Corbin at 29 got a 6-year $140 million contract from the Washington Nationals. Mm-hmm. So it shows you that he's a couple years younger. But statistically, they had very similar numbers over the last 2 years, and he was able to get 23 a year. So that's why I'm saying I feel like Keuchel, 25, 26 might be too much, but 22, 20?
I'm sorry, but if I'm a general manager,
I'm just using statistics.
Right.
What they're saying and what the numbers show is that he's probably worth in the neighborhood of 20 to 22.
Oh, I'm paying that. Sorry.
Yeah. I think what scares me with Keuchel is the 5 years. That's what would scare me more.
Yeah, the length of the deal, the fact that he's had some arm issues, he's had some health issues. It seems like as you get over that 30 hump that he starts breaking down a little bit, and he's obviously not the pitcher he was when he won the Cy Young.
Who would you rather have right now, Keuchel or Miley?
I still would take Miley.
Would you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he's going to be just fine.
Okay.
And I think this lineup is going to continue to hit throughout the year.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that it's a good situation for both Miley at a good price at $5 million for the Astros and the fact that he's got great offensive support if he's looking for a bigger deal as he goes forward. There's another guy. I don't think going forward Wade Miley's ever going to sniff any kind of long-term deal.
Well, he's older. I think he's a year or two older than Keuchel. So, yeah, for sure.
Did you see that there's been a lot of question marks about the Kansas City Chiefs defense, and we know that some moves were made with Houston going away early, and then other moves that they made to lose pass rushers. And everybody's like, what are the Chiefs going to do? I mean, you know, they keep letting guys get away, and we know how good their offense is. But D. Ford eventually was traded to the Niners. So they brought in Tyrann Mathieu, but they really haven't addressed the D-line. Well, now they are, and in a big way, because after the Russell Wilson signing with the Seahawks, they knew because of the salary concerns, Frank Clark, one of the top defensive linemen in the game, was going to be made available. But they were looking for a big price tag. They wanted at least a first-round pick. They wanted more than that. Most teams in the league were like, there's no way they're going to get that.
Mm-hmm.
Enter the Kansas City Chiefs, Barry. Kansas City Chiefs gave up their number one this year, a number two, a conditional pick swap later in the later rounds, and it was all contingent on him signing a new deal in which Clark has signed a five-year, $105.5 million deal with $63.5 million guaranteed with the Chiefs.
Wow.
Monster deal.
It's a big deal, and they gave up a lot.
So they give up their one this year, which was 29th overall. The teams will exchange third-round picks this year. The Chiefs will also send the lower of their two second-round picks next year to the Seahawks. That is a haul if you're the Seahawks.
Yeah.
When teams know you're in a bind, you got a clear cap room, you can't sign this guy anyway, and you come out with a flop of your threes, you get a two and a one for this guy.
It's pretty interesting. You wonder if sometimes desperation gets the best of a GM, or maybe the games that get played around the draft make GMs think, well, you know what? Bird in the hand versus two in the bush, and I don't know what's going to happen draft day, but I can control this. I can go out and get a guy. Now, you overpaid for him at both in the contract you gave him and in what you gave up to get him, but they got a guy.
I mean, and here's the thing, too. You know how good your offense is. You know that you had the Patriots on the ropes. So if you start believing the hype and you like the taste of the limelight that you got to be where you were a year ago and believe that you're going to be a team that's going to go for it, then you got to go for it.
Yeah.
And you know, you let two quality defenders get away in Ford and Houston. So you got to start restocking somehow and get some depth, if nothing else, in the D-line. It's a big move because you know what? The deal in itself, the 5 years and the $105 million, it's not $65 million guaranteed that the Cowboys gave DeMarcus Lawrence, but it's a pretty big deal for a guy that's not as well known as a DeMarcus Lawrence. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. I mean, he's not. I mean, we're talking about Frank Clark like he's not good. He's good.
No, he's good.
He's a well above average, edge defender. But at the same time, for what you gave up for him, you should have gotten a top 10, a top 15 guy. And he might be he's somewhere in the 20 to 25 range, I think.
I mean,
if you were ranking guys.
33 sacks since 2016. That's ninth in the league. And his 2,045 defensive snaps played in that span are fewer than the eight players ahead of him. So you're saying if he was on the field more, he'd have better numbers, but then you can question, why
wasn't
aren't
he
you
on the
field?
Field
more,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. He makes the most of his time, but there's something that's keeping him off the field. I mean, it does seem a bit excessive.
Seems like a panic move a little bit.
Yeah. And if you're the Chiefs, though, man, as close as you might feel like you are, and then you add Tyrann Mathieu to the back end of that defense, and you feel like offensively you're good to go, you just need to get a little bit better. You just need to – getting pressure on the quarterback is obviously going to help your secondary and make the defense better. And maybe that's what they felt like. You know what? We don't know. Of these picks that we trade away, one of those guys might end up being a star. One of those guys might end up being well above average, but we know Frank Clark is above average. He's borderline good, or he's as good. He's a good player.
Good. He's good.
He's good. So he has the potential to be great if he played more. We'll find out why he didn't play. So it smacks a little bit of desperation, but I think I see some reasoning in why you would do that over taking chances in the draft.
The final number to say that he's a little bit better than good, of the 21 players with at least 25 sacks since 2016, his average of a sack every 63.9 snaps ranks him seventh. So again, he's pretty good.
Yeah, I think the where you have to look at, and I would want to go like deep dive, I guess, a little bit, because you know how nerdy I get, but maybe it's because he's a good edge rusher, but he's not good against the run. That might be what limits his snaps. It's like, well, you're a liability in the run defense. I can't claim to know whether he is or isn't, but I'm saying that might be what's limiting him. That might be why it's a bit more of a reach. He's good at this specialty, which is what you want, what you need. But that might be also if he's deficient in run stopping, that could be what affects his ability to see the playing field the whole time.
How about this one? Robbie Gould, the kicker for the Niners. He's upset because the Niners franchise tagged him. He's frustrated with the fact that they can't get a deal done. He's now cut off talks, and he wants the Niners to trade him.
That's so funny.
He's a kicker.
That's what's
crazy.
Did
we not take note of what happened with the Bears' highly drafted kicker last year and then his Today Show appearance and the fact that he got pushed aside and sent packing? Robbie Gould is now saying, I'll report when I want to report, but I want to be close to my wife and my children in Chicago. We're tired of the negotiation process. Dude, you're a kicker. If you wanted to stay in Chicago, make more kicks. You wouldn't have been sent packing either.
Yeah, good for him if you can do it. I wonder what he's made over there, because this is starting to be a game of chicken too.
Now, he has one of the highest field goal percentages in the league over the last three seasons. He's made 96.5% of his kicks over the last 3 years. So good on him, right? Justin Tucker, who everybody thinks is the gold standard with the Ravens, was second to him. Matt Bryant, third. But you got franchise tagged as a kicker. You're good, bro. And if you can work out a long-term deal, your handicap's going to go down, your bank payroll's going to go up, and you're going to be just fine.
How much do you think he made in his career so far?
Robert, how long has he been in the league?
Since 2005.
How much do you think 14-year career?
Mm-hmm.
I got to believe that he's approaching 60 mil.
29.
Still good. Okay, half of that.
Yeah. He's averaging about 2 million a year. His first year in the league, he made
that's the early years.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, still. So
I guess he's trying to make up for it.
That's what I'm saying, because you would have thought it would have been more, right? As good as he's been and whatnot. But even if I got 30 mil, I feel like I can play some. Yeah, I feel like I can play some chicken with some folks and be like, I have 30 mil in the bank. It's probably more than that with, you know, local endorsements or whatever. And if you invested wisely, it could be more. It could be a little less. He may only have 10 mil. But guess what? I still have 10 million. If I want to be close to my family, if that's what's more important to me, I'll play that game of chicken.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, it's not like these other guys that are coming out of their careers with CTE and, right, you know, limbs that don't work right and all these other things. Kickball get check has never been more definitive in my life. And play golf half the time during the season. And his quote is, the bottom line is, I'm unsure if I want to play in San Francisco anymore. At this point, I have to do what's best for me and my family back home. Well, you better hope you get another offer then, Chief, because I don't see you being a part of the Niners.
He made $191,000 his first year in the league.
To kick a ball! So what?
Well, I made more than that in IT 1 year, so I wouldn't... That ain't exactly like living high on the hog early. I mean, it's not... Yeah, I ain't laughing at that money.
I ain't laughing at that money,
but, and you're right. The kicking, but... I get it. He's like, man, look, I want to be closer, and I'm really good at my job, and I deserve more money. So
fair enough. All right, you know who else is good at their job? The Houston Rockets. They are up big in their series with the Utah Jazz, but after a little slip-up last night, they're back home tomorrow night to take on the Jazz and hopefully close out the first-round series, and they need your help. They want that sixth man in the building, and they want to feel that atmosphere that makes the Jazz want to fold up their tents and go home while the Rockets can take care of business and get ready for the semis and probably the Golden State Warriors. You want to be there? You can, because a limited amount of tickets have just become available. They're not going to be out there long, but if you want tickets to tomorrow night's game, they're out there. It's a 7 o'clock tip. It's the Rockets and the Jazz, and you can get them. All you got to do is go to Rockets.com, and you can get your tickets to Game 5 right now. But again, limited tickets available. You got to act fast. And by the way, doors open at 5:30, so you can get there early. There's going to be a pregame happy hour. $3 beers, $1 hot dogs, and sodas. Outside on the pad, Budweiser liftoff party. It starts at 4:30. Live music provided by the Houston band Breakfast at Tiffany's. It's going to be just a jam party all night long, and you hope it finishes with another Rockets victory. Go to Rockets.com. Get your tickets right now. Game 5, Rockets and Jazz, 7 p.m. tomorrow night. Get your tickets while they last.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. Knee deep in hour number three of the big show. We'll take you to four. Blitz will take you till seven right here on ESPN 97.5. As a little bit of a reminder for you peeps, you know that we have a little bit of a hip-hop, rap, R&B vibe normally on our shows, and we want to kind of send the message out to you guys that Snoop Doggy Dogg is going to be in the H, celebrating 25 years of Doggy Style with Snoop Dogg. It's Thursday, April the 25th, easy, at Smart Financial Center. Uncle Snoop's Army, Bobby D., they present Snoop Dogg and Friends Tour. It's going to feature Warren G., G-Funk, and the Dog Pound. Find out more information and get your tickets before they go. It's a smaller venue. It is Smart Financial Center. It's April the 25th. Head over to livenation.com.
I'm looking at my email.
Yeah?
You've already sent your list.
Yep.
Good job.
Thanks.
What part of the Real Slim Shady can't you understand?
There's portions of it.
Oh, my God. He's just adding random-ass songs.
No.
No part of the Real Slim Shady. What list did you find that on? Because there's no way that you just came up with that on your own as not being able to understand the lyrics.
Where are we going from here?
That was on a list that you were I'm going to put that. That'll get me a vote. How do you, what part of the Real Slim Shady can't you understand? Mm-mm-mm. What are you Googling? Mm-mm. He's Googling something. He's like, let me pull up the lyrics here. What are you doing?
Why don't we figure out some topic to talk about in the meantime?
You're doing research right now? Crack research in the middle of the show?
Got that right.
Juan in Denver said, I went to Golden, Colorado for a job interview at Coors. They have a beautiful view at the brewery. Pretty much every view in Colorado is a good view, I feel like. I don't feel like there's a bad spot to live.
Anywhere in Colorado, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
The Rocky Mountains. And
yeah.
And if you have problems with climate, the climate's always changing in Denver. You and I were talking about that one day where it can be 70-some degrees one day, and then you can get snow the next, but by the next day it's gone again. And I've had friends that live in Denver that I've visited. It is fantastic.
My buddy just got back from Denver yesterday, and I was so jealous from his Instagram. So I have only seen nice views from the social media platforms.
Mm-hmm. It's legit.
No question about it. Yep. That going for you, which is nice if you're Juan. And John Granato would be very proud of him.
For working at Coors?
Golden, Colorado, yeah.
Home of Coors, huh?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That toilet water.
That's not very nice.
Did you see, by the way, he has the big... We kidded about this when we started doing the live stream, that we should get sponsors for our laptops.
Uh-huh.
His laptop has a massive Coors Light logo on it.
I can see that. They sponsor John. If somebody was sponsored me like Coors Light sponsors John, I'd put a logo on my laptop for that.
Did you see him at the game last night?
Granato?
Right behind home plate.
No.
Yeah, he had Tillman seats.
Oh, we had Tillman
Dana
seats.
Dana Hogerson, Chad Clay, John Granato, Yanni Damaris. Yeah, his whole crew was hanging out last night. He was bright green golf shirt. He was visible throughout the proceedings at Minute Maid last night.
Look at that. Houston media critic on Twitter said, Barry, what type of IT were you doing? My friend has a bachelor's in IT, and I consider him an expert. He's never made anything close to 192K, less than half that in information technology. Well, one, I don't have my bachelor's degree in IT or anything else. I have an associate's from Lone Star. So I was self-made. But I started off in IT teaching, believe it or not. I taught Microsoft Outlook for like 6 months as a contractor and then went full-time teaching at a place called C-Trek in town where you can go to get certified in IT stuff if you don't have the certifications. But I worked for 18 years, and I started in 98. And then, how long has this show been around? Because it was the same year that I got laid off, and that's when I no longer did IT. So we've been around 2.5 years.
A couple of years, yeah.
So about 2016, 2017. So almost 20 years in IT. I was a contractor as a project manager for infrastructure stuff. So I was doing pretty well on an hourly basis. So that was the
half
year.
Half of it is finding the right gig at the right time.
There's people as a contractor... I mean, I guess I don't care telling y'all, it's not that big of a deal. But as a contractor, I almost made $250K that year.
Good for you.
But like, and then now full time was completely different. I was, you know, I think my best year full time was at like 160K.
No wonder why you own your own suburb.
I don't own the suburb, but I'm just saying, like, but that doesn't, that's not every year money, but that was that year I made a lot. And then when I went full time as a project manager, I did pretty well. I'm about 160K a year.
Good for you.
And so it just depends on what you do and what level you're at and everything else. So
I'm just not.
Yeah, IT can be lucrative depending on what you do. And I have a lot of friends that made the same thing. A lot of us were project managers.
I mean, if you're interested, mycareer.edu, I'm sure can get you started on the right career path today. People listening.
Yeah.
I think AJ speaks for them.
I think you can be self-taught. I think you can take these classes. I think you can do whatever. That's the beautiful thing about IT. No one required me to have a bachelor's to be able to do it, just as long as you knew computers.
I'd like to require you to help me when I need it instead of just telling me to go fly a kite.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I know. Believe me, I've experienced that. we're moving along with the show. We've got a half hour to go in it. So if there's something that you guys want to kick around, there's more football news to be had. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but this Odell Beckham thing, you just want it to go away. I mean, once the Giants got rid of him to the Browns, you figured, hey, whether it was a good deal, bad deal, it's going to go away, right? No, it's not. And it keeps rearing its head. Now he was out on Twitter last night, and he was firing shots, taking his shots, going back at the Giants and fans and everything else, and it got messy again.
Is anyone surprised by that?
No.
I mean, are you surprised that Odell Beckham Jr. is on Twitter saying, look, I'm in a good mood, so I'm going to shoot some shots here. Y'all don't be mean to me. And then basically end it with, I got a lot of dirt. Everyone should watch what they say. That's typical Odell Beckham Jr. Like, this is par for the course with him.
Yeah. It's just, you know, you look at this and, you know, whether you were happy initially or not, you're in a good spot. You're with your college teammate. You're on an up-and-coming team. People are excited, and yet you can't let it go. And you know, and Dave Gettleman, the GM of the Giants,
well,
this
he's
week,
to blame for it,
he,
too,
he
though.
Stirred it back up. Absolutely. That's where I was going when he said, you know, a lot of times it's not about the talent on the field. It's the culture and the locker room. And he said that they had a culture problem. And then it led a reporter to ask, well, do you have the culture problem anymore? And he said, no. So, I mean, you do the math. Deductive reasoning says OBJ goes, no more. So does the culture problem.
It's funny. I feel like if you're OBJ, you know what you are. You know you're flamboyant. You know you're the center of attention. You're proposing to kicking nets on the sidelines and doing all these crazy things. And you know that. That's part of your brand. So why are you upset when people say that that's what you were?
And he pulled a Lammy.
Oh, didn't he?
Because he pulled a Lammy, and instead of just responding to the media reports, he then decided to view his own Twitter and respond accordingly to the people that decided to just start spewing hate.
Oh, so he just started just
shooting his shot back.
Picking people off
so,
one at a
time.
So,
you know, one dude tweets him and says, stop crying, you loser. There's no reason to go after a Class A franchise because you were a locker room cancer. And they realized that they needed to change and change the culture. Grow up and show a little maturity for the first time in your career. Hashtag overrated.
Wow.
To which he said,
back at that.
Ask any one of my teammates who I was as a teammate and a man and a person. Yeah, I'm a cancer to a place that's okay with losing because I want to win that bad. You're absolutely correct.
I ain't mad at that response.
He's got good responses.
I'm not mad at that. That's a mature, poignant and to the point response. I have no problem with it.
Another Giants fan said, okay, let's talk then. Why didn't you straighten up after getting the cash? And don't sit here and say you did. Constantly bringing questionable statements, interviews, actions into the locker room. You're going to go down as one of the Giants greats, but come on, bro. They bet on you, then you made them look foolish. And he came back with Gettleman's quote, we didn't sign him to trade him. You don't get married to get a divorce. I tried my best. The situation I had been in since I got in the league never changed. We were still losing, period. Money doesn't bring happiness, brother. Remember that.
I would be careful with that. I would be careful as an athlete on saying money doesn't bring you happiness. Because then the first thing that they want to say is, hey man, you gotta give me my money.
Yeah.
Yeah, where's my money? I need all my money. I need what I'm worth. Well, why? If you need $100 million, 80 isn't enough. Is that it doesn't make sense. Are you like I would be careful. I always would warn
the fans were questioning late in the year when he got hurt why he didn't travel and putting it on him. And he goes, ask the coach. I begged him to go each and every one of those games, actually for my teammates and to be on the sidelines and even for the home games. And he told me, quote unquote, no. Anything else, sir? That's to whoever tweeted why I didn't travel while I was hurt. Next. So then they said Eli Manning was shown working pass patterns with receivers. Why didn't I ever see any of that with OBJ? And he said, I'm taking the high road. I'm working on the best me, and that's all I can say.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it got there's more.
Again,
but
I don't think this shocks anyone, but if I'm the Browns, I'm like, dude, please do us a favor. Please just delete your Twitter account or just hire someone to run it for you and just post positive things. He's not going to. That's how he is. I'm sure there are times when, you know, every employee or employer looks at their employees and thinks, don't post that. Please don't tweet that.
Seriously, and you know what? Having been in that situation, the best PR person in the league can try and get to the players and try and convince them to stop. They're not going to stop.
I wonder if David Gal looks at my Twitter sometimes and goes, Jesus.
Oh, I think there's more than just a couple of times. Yeah.
Mine's not that bad. It's not OBJ bad.
No, but
what? Because I called Utah fans racist?
Well, you drop some bombs every now and then.
Oh, I'll curse. That's the, hey, look, you signed up for that. I curse. I'm sorry. That's just going to happen. So, yeah.
And here's the other one that could get interesting at some point, because I don't think he's done. He said, I gave the Giants everything I had, bruh. Just put some respect on my name. That's all I'm saying. I ain't saying nothing. And trust me, I got a lot of info that people don't know about. So keep my name out your mouth the way I do y'all's, and y'all dig.
That's what I was saying. He said, like, I got dirt.
Oh, he's got a lot.
I've got dirt on you, and don't push me because I'll let you know. So.
Yes, sir.
Oops.
So we'll see what happens there. Yeah, and there's more to it, but you can always check it online. I'll retweet the article, but he didn't leave it to just one or two. He was rolling for quite a while.
Yeah, he was. Hey, guys, the Dynamo are back. They are off to their best start in club history. Don't know if you knew that or not, but they're back. And they're young. They're exciting. They're led by El Pantera, the Panther. Albert Elise. Dude is taking the MLS by storm. He's exciting. He's fun to watch. Great ball handling skills. Fast out there, given what he's got to the team and to the city, along with Memo Rodriguez, who is a native Houstonian, also leading goal scorer in the MLS. Joe Willis among lead leaders and as a goalkeeper. This is a fun team. If you have not been out to a Dynamo game, you need to get out there. And they're also teaming up with MD Anderson this year. And it's more than just kind of a partnership where it's like, hey, put our logo on your jersey. No. They're doing way more than that. They've partnered up with this thing called One Goal, and that goal is to end cancer. So all season, a portion of ticket sales from the Dynamo games will benefit the MD Anderson Cancer Center. And to take it a step further, on this Saturday, April 27th, when the Dynamo play the Columbus Crew, the first 5,000 fans will get a Dynamo End Cancer scarf, a Houston Dynamo End Cancer scarf this Saturday, April 27th, first 5,000 fans. It's outstanding. If you've never been to BBVA Compass Stadium to check out a game, you need to do that. There's certain things in this city you need to do. And at some point, you got to get out to BBVA and take in a Dynamo match. And what better time to do that than April 27th? You can get that scarf. You can see them take on the Columbus Crew. It's a great time. They're a fun team to watch. They're young. They're passionate. They're hardworking. Everything that Houston is about, they are as well. Come support them. Get out there. If you need tickets, tickets available at HoustonDynamo.com. That's HoustonDynamo.com. Go check it out.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final half hour of the show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Tuesday. And Barry.
Yes.
There's a website, bustle.com.
Oh, that sounds kinky.
Okay. Well, whatever it sounds like to you. Hustle and bustle. I know that it sounds like a list that they put out.
Okay.
Of their 15 songs with the most hard to understand lyrics. Some of them are on your list, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah, some of them are on your list, by the way. I'll include that.
I will fully admit that I reached out to a list for a few of those.
Okay.
Some of them, like, were ones that I know, like... Like, I remembered Chop Suey, but I was like, what is the name of the song? I remember System of a Down, but I couldn't remember Chop Suey, so I had to Google it.
Nirvana, Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Yeah.
That's on there.
Okay.
Fall Out Boy. Okay. Sugar, We're Going Down.
Okay.
All right. Bare Naked Ladies, 1 Week.
Mm-hmm.
Another one of yours. R.E.M., It's the End of the World.
Yep.
Several others, including Eminem.
This is where you got it from.
Yep. Jay-Z, 99 Problems. Eminem.
Why is Jay-Z's 99 Problems on there?
They think that everyone can walk up and nail this, but then they realize halfway through they only really know that I've got 99 Problems and the bitch ain't one line, and the rest of the lyrics can be quite confusing and hard to understand.
Oh, my God. That is not the case at all.
Eminem's The Real Slim Shady. At the end of the day, everyone knows the chorus, but when the lyrics come on, people get confused, and it is quite troublesome.
But you can understand him. You just, that doesn't mean, no.
Again, no, because there is no judge and jury on this. It's on a list, so therefore it qualifies.
Do this all the time.
Just letting you know.
Old man Blake over here.
Yeah, okay, that's me.
Says that you, just
because. Get off my lawn.
Just because you, what is it? What was my saying yesterday?
What was it?
Is it too much to ask?
Is it too much to ask to get some lyrics? A list of this proportion?
No, but it's a difference between being able to sing along because it's too fast or whatever, and understanding the clarity has nothing to do with being able to rap along with Eminem. You can understand 99% of the words in Slim Shady's song. Can you not? There's a, I think you're missing the point of songs you can't understand.
I'm not missing the point. I'm just pointing out that I got my list done in a timely manner, and that song happens to be on a list that points out exactly the theme that we're going for.
Yeah. No, their point was is that people can't rap along to it. That doesn't mean you can't understand it. Can you please cue it up? I guarantee you can understand. What was it? Eminem's Real Slim Shady?
Uh-huh.
You can understand the words. You just may not be able to keep up with it. I don't know. I feel like you didn't understand the...
Oh, I understood fully. I just didn't want to waste a whole lot of time with it.
The topic. Somebody said every song by Pearl Jam ever. Not the clearest.
Do you want to put Supersonic on there?
You could.
Yeah.
You absolutely could, because that one hook there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nobody knows what the hell they're saying.
Nick just got song one.
Like... Yeah, just fast forward. Look. How do you not understand what he's saying?
There's plenty of people that don't.
Who doesn't understand this? Okay. Helen Keller doesn't know what he's saying because she can't hear.
Okay. Can't see either.
Uh-huh. Where was Dr. Dre in that song? You know exactly where it was.
All
he was locked in the basement because
you
could hear.
All you want to do is start conflict. But you know what? We all have
we
our lists.
We could just bring back the Twitter poll if y'all want. Y'all want to bring back the
Joel's
Twitter poll?
Joel's disqualified. Because
no, because Barry says. There you go. Oh, that's it then. It's set in stone. Let's move on. Shall we? All right. Let's go.
Somebody said, Barry, you can understand Jay-Z because apparently you're black. Joel is way too white.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're absolutely right about that, too. I checked.
Real Slim Shady is my go-to in karaoke. Oh, no. Is that allowed? Are you allowed to rap in karaoke now?
Absolutely.
Really?
I think plenty of people
absolutely.
Do. As long as if they're like 3 or 4 drinks in, there are no rules.
So, I have a friend that's karaoke to the Real Slim Shady. I've seen
him
do
it.
Now,
see, I would karaoke. I don't go karaokeing. Is that a saying? Is that a word? I don't do
I
the karaoke.
I thought it was a dead industry, but it's not.
It was a dead industry.
I really did.
There are karaoke bars.
They're all over the place.
Of course, there were internet cafes at one point too. So, touche. I never realized. I feel like rapping at a karaoke bar is cheating because the whole point was to sing, which is anyone can get up there and talk. Well, apparently Joel can't, but because he didn't get the lyrics. But most people can get up there.
Microphone.
Most people can get up there and. Rap, because that's just talking out loud on beat. I mean, they may not be on beat, but
I'm
they
kind
can
of
do
okay
it.
With it.
Singing is different, though. That's a skill set,
right? And I'm okay with it. But a part of karaoke is not necessarily you being a good singer. Is that you want to sing, knowing you're a bad singer. So it's for your own self pleasure. You get drunk, you go on stage. But the other factor is there's
Who
people
does
listening.
That?
There's other people listening, and they don't want to listen. So if you can't sing. And you step on a karaoke stage and you begin to rap, I'm not necessarily mad at you because I know that there's a possibility you can't sing and I don't have to listen.
Who wants to get up and embarrass themselves awful singing?
I think most people want to impress people.
Karaoke at Baker's every Tuesday in Sugar Land. I'm telling you. I'm there practically every day.
Baker Street, you mean?
Yeah, we call it Baker's, though. Okay? And I'm telling you, these drunk-ass fools have no business being on the stage. They have no business picking up a microphone. And they don't care.
They suck.
Yeah.
But they still do it.
That's why I say.
I'm an awful singer. That's why I would never and have never done karaoke. Now, if you're telling me I could rap, I might do that.
Oh, you can absolutely rap.
No one's gonna stop you. Or the other thing is, because you don't want to go up there and look. It's like open mics. You don't want to go up there and just look like an idiot and stumble, you know, and fail miserably. So if you're going to go up there and do it, because I'm with you, like unless I'm forced to do it at some kind of like party or something like that, I want no part of it. But if I'm going up there, I'm not going to go up there to crap the bed. I'm going to go up there and try and get through a song that's going to end up sounding okay. So like you can pull a lot of different things. One that comes to mind that you really can't screw up is Neil Diamond.
Right.
Because I've said it before. I've kidded around and said he was the first American white rap guy because all he really does is talk through his lyric and just reaching out. That's all you got to do.
Sublime Santeria. That's another good karaoke song. There's a lot of people that confuse good karaoke songs thinking, no, it's a good karaoke song for someone who can sing it. Like Tennessee Whiskey is a great karaoke song.
If you can sing.
Exactly.
Right, but you gotta carry the tune.
But people go up on that stage now, and guess what they want to sing? Tennessee Whiskey. It's a disaster.
My plan, if I was ever forced at gunpoint to do karaoke, would be to do Biz Markie, Just a Friend.
Yeah, that would work.
Because if you're a bad singer, that doesn't matter in that song.
Exactly. You can't carry a tune either.
No. So that would be the one song that I could that I would do at karaoke. But now if you're telling me that I can rap, just straight up, go up there as boom boom and kick my flow.
Absolutely.
Which is the whitest thing I've ever said. I'm going to go up there and I'm going to kick my flow.
Why you got to sound like intern?
But Barry is way more black than Joel, so
hurt him. Sorry, Barry, I'm with Joel. I can't understand most Eminem songs. Okay. Signed, Aggie Joe. Well, so there you go. That's what category you're in.
Thanks.
You and Aggie Joe can't understand him. Somebody wants to know if Snow's Informer's on the list. Yeah, it should be.
I think it's on Joel's list.
I have it.
Yeah.
Yep. So there you have it.
House of Pain jump around at karaoke all day, every day.
House of Pain was also on one of the lists for hard to understand lyrics.
See?
That's false.
Yeah, Real Slim Shady. If you can understand House of Pain, jump around.
Picking apart your list.
That's because my list was too good. That's why.
No, I just haven't really taken a good look at it, but I will find something to pick apart both of y'all's lists.
You'll find something wrong? I'm sure you will.
I mean, Slim Shady really isn't that difficult to understand.
No, it's not.
It really isn't.
At all.
But Smells Like Teen Spirit. There's some parts that you can understand, and then there's other parts of the track that
you have no idea.
Yeah. So it's like, I guess it depends.
Yeah. Do you karaoke?
I do not.
You just watch?
No Darius Rucker for you?
No, I would not. I would never.
There's another one. You could probably get through a lot of it.
I have a friend. She loves going so much.
We come from different worlds.
She's a terrible singer, too.
Is she?
Yeah, but she don't care.
There's nothing worse than when, like,
she owns it.
You ever seen a hot chick try to do karaoke and then they suck? And you're just like, wow, you just got ugly real quick. I feel like hot chicks are supposed to be able to sing or just don't try.
No, I feel like if you're a hot chick, you can get away with not being interested.
Oh, people ain't listening.
No, they're still paying attention.
Not much.
Don't come at me with that.
Not much.
Sound like somebody ran over a cat. No.
I disagree.
Okay.
Are we all going to go karaoke this weekend?
I'll go.
Joel, you going to sing?
Don't threaten me. I'll go.
You're the one who busts rhymes from the Rockets days. Now, that's hard to understand. That's what I should put on my Way Back Wednesday list.
What are Joel's raps? You should go and find...
He's so mad at
me right now. You need to find like an old on the website.
Is that documented?
I wonder if you could find like an old KTRH.
Pre-2009.
Find the KTRH pre-2009.
I'll help
you. That would be outstanding.
Yeah, we'll find some.
Oh my god, that would be outstanding.
Yeah. I'm not gonna pick your song, don't worry.
One segment to go on the big show before we turn it over to the Blitz. So we will wrap it up, put a bow on it next. Then Fred, AJ, and Aaron, they'll take you all the way till 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, another fun and spirited show wrapping up here as you are on the go on ESPN 97.5. It is The Usual Suspect. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. We're in studio having a good time. Way Back Wednesday tomorrow has been a underwriting theme of the last hour.
Somebody said us Asians, us, not me, but the texter, us Asians take our karaoke seriously. An entry-level system starts at $3,000 and goes up from there. What?
That's if you were going to have your own, like, I guess if you wanted it at your house or you wanted to have your own business doing it. Because my buddy's family are Hawaiian, and on the islands.
Are we counting that as Asian?
No. Oh. I'm saying different yet the same. My buddy's family has several relatives on several of the islands in Hawaii that bring the karaoke to the bars and things like that. They have a business doing it. It used to be a mobile DJ service, and it essentially just turned. It was the business was so good at from the karaoke standpoint, they just flipped it. They just made it all karaoke.
Really?
And it's killing over there.
Wow.
Well, yeah. A lot of people, you'd be surprised, but I've come to learn that there are certain karaoke locations that have rooms that you can reserve, and these rooms are reserved several months in advance.
Yeah.
It's like, that's how serious people are about
really?
Karaoke. Yeah.
You know, in Midtown, they opened up that Spotlight Karaoke a couple years ago, and it just took off.
And there's one right by us on Westheimer.
We went.
Oh, really?
I don't remember what it was for. I want to say it was Mick Maynard's birthday one year. Mick Maynard, matchmaker, UFC. Oops, did I drop that?
Yep.
We were at a karaoke bar or something like that. We had our own room.
Yeah.
With a sliding glass door.
Yep.
And you sing in a room with your friends.
That's how Spotlight is.
We could have just stayed home and done that.
Yeah.
Why do we need to go to and not be out where everybody's...
Because you want to look at hot chicks who can't sing.
No. When you're in your own room, you're not seeing... Those are your friends.
Nobody. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, but
it.
You can go out and walk around
you
in
could
the
if
main
you wanted
area.
To, yes.
Yeah.
You could.
So that, but there was a bar out there. Like, I don't think they were doing karaoke out there. Just they had karaoke rooms.
Right. Karaoke spots will have... Like one by the bar, which everybody can see you sing, and
right.
Then there's rooms to where only your friends could sing. And each one of those rooms have one of those expensive systems that Joel's talking about that has a microphone and a computer that you can choose a list of songs from.
I feel like renting a room to sing karaoke is just an enormous waste of money.
I wouldn't do it. But people like doing it.
I mean, it depends, like you said, and like the texter said, it depends on what level you want to do it. Because there are cheap systems you can do it with, and you can just, and or you can just like play the song and sing along with it. Or you can get real technical to where you buy these libraries of instrumentals of all the songs, and then the lyrics have to go on a computer screen, and you know, and then you have the microphone system and everything else, and it can get spendy.
Because I feel like if I'm going to do karaoke and I think I'm good at it, I'm going to go do it because I want to show off. Like, I'm going to be in front of a crowd and be like, look at me, I'm a singer, maybe I'll get discovered and get a record deal. And you know, I mean, obviously it never happens.
You'd be surprised how small of a fraction that is of people that like that.
They just people just go to do this to sing out loud
and sing bad. And I'll tell you this: I've witnessed a fight between a patron and a karaoke DJ, and the DJ was like, "You're not going to get to sing." And the person was like, "Why?" And he was like, "Because you haven't bought two drinks yet."
Oh,
yeah. And they're like, "If you don't buy two drinks, you don't get to sing, sir." And he was, "No, I want to sing." They told it to another lady, and she threw a fit as well.
Ooh.
That's how demanding they are about karaoke.
God.
And
wow.
Singing in front of people
the karaoke,
that they don't know.
Karaoke
very badly.
Police out here.
Yeah.
I didn't realize. I know comedy clubs had a two-item minimum. I had no idea karaoke bars
It absolutely
did.
Does.
That's
There's
a fact
lot of
that I've never heard that before.
Absolutely, they'll have a drink minimum just so you can sing.
I just feel like. Is that if
you
rent
the
private
room
too?
Yep, but you can't sing unless you buy at least two drinks.
But if you rent the private room, do you have to do that?
No, because you pay. You paid for the room at that point.
Okay,
they got their money.
I was really going to question that.
Yeah,
I don't know. I feel like renting a room to isolate yourself. You could, like I said, you could just do that at home. That's like paying for the first dance at the strip club. Like, no one pays when their clothes are on.
You do it in your car.
No one, what, karaoke?
Yeah.
I just, yeah, I get down.
I think what you need to do is videotape that, and then you, you know, and there might be a future in it for you. So then we could see it and say, you know what, you're really doing well, Barry. I think this is something you should pursue.
I'll be honest with you. I have thought about recording myself in the car. And then I was like, nope, that's not how I want to embarrass myself. I have other ways to do that.
You should do it. You should take your favorite Katy Perry song and just wail.
It would be Taylor Swift. It would be Taylor. Now,
Miley?
My go-to would be Taylor Swift or Alanis Morissette. But if Party in the USA came on, I would do that. I had to. I realized I didn't know all the words the other day, so I had to pull up a lyric sheet.
Alanis Morissette, isn't it ironic?
I would do a lot of her songs.
You know the words?
Yeah. She had a lot of good songs. Yes.
Wow.
She had a lot of good songs.
You should do Katy Perry Roar.
Jagged Little Pill was a great album.
So, looking at the clock.
I'm just saying.
Nick, you're not backing that up? Alanis Morissette, Jagged Little Pill, great album.
No, Katy Perry, you should sing the diss.
Oh, yeah. That's a great running song. Again, I don't sing out loud in public, so you're not going to get me to do it. No.
Please
I don't
sing
do it in public.
Orlando Bloom agrees with you, Nick.
Are they still together?
They're getting married.
Really?
Yeah.
Orlando Bloom and Katy Perry?
They got back together and they're getting married.
Yeah. I don't keep up with pop culture enough. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I'll be damned.
So there's your bit of pop culture for today on The Usual Suspects.
There it is.
Brought to you by no one. But was the Ernie Neto stat of the day right there. All right, Way Back Wednesday is tomorrow. We're done for today. That means the Blitz must be on deck. And coming up next, that means that Aaron is going to be taking over for Nick. And Fred and AJ will be sliding into these two seats. They'll take you home till 7 o'clock. And all you've got to do is keep it right there doing what you're doing. You guys have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here on ESPN 97.5.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.